Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Welcome to Share Talk. Today I have Andrew Bell on from Regency Mining. How are you, Andrew?
I'm very well, thank you.
Right. It's been quite a while since we've had a catch-up. You've been a very busy man to get a hold of. And in the sort of interim since we last spoke to you, there's been a very nice share price rise in relation to UKOG, UK Oil and Gas.
Yep.
And could we have an update on where we are at and how things are proceeding there?
Yes. I think that it's interesting. We've widened and diversified our interest in the Weald Basin now. Because if you take Horse Hill consists of a couple of licenses with about 150 square kilometers, and the ownership of that by Horse Hill Development is 65%, with 35% still held by Magellan in the United States. And of that 65%, UKOG has about 32 now, and other people have the rest, including us. Then you've got the licenses at Broadford Bridge that UKOG owns 100% of. Now, that's twice the size, 300 square kilometers. So if you've got like for like, their effective interest in that is 6x rather than 1x. Is it? Yes. So you've got 6x. Rather than 3 1/3. Yeah, 6x rather than 1x in Horse Hill. So that's six times more significant to them. In essence, my maths is very wrong. And
they sound right to me as a proportion.
Yeah, much bigger position. So for us, trading a little bit of our Horse Hill holding with something in Broadford Bridge, which may now be their prime asset, and where they have fewer partners to deal with in taking it forward, is to me just good business, because we also get the liquidity. And I think the value is going to be in the consolidators rather than the consolidatees in these little licenses. So we've got our direct interest in Horse Hill, which is great through the direct holding, and we've got our indirect interest in Horse Hill and indirect interest now in Broadford Bridge through the holding in UKOG, which has much greater liquidity as well. So as a sort of rebalancing of our risk, rather than having something that was potentially a very, very substantial asset, where we only have a small shareholding, in our accounting for a lot of our relatively small capitalization, I'm very happy with it in concept, and I'm very happy with it in the result.
Now, not a lot of people have actually picked up on this, but the chart for UKOG versus Regency Mining has almost been in a perfect sort of synergy since the start of the major rises several weeks ago. And to me, it looks like the coal assets no longer have any sort of value attributable to Regency Mining. So in your update, you've obviously drew a line in the sand over what was identified back in the first quarter, and steps have been put in place to obviously try and achieve sort of value in the sort of quarter three, quarter four of this year. So could you give us a very good in-depth summary of where we are now in relation to your US coal projects, please?
In depth, no, but in summary, yes. In summary, you know, one of the merits of being in having several assets is that one will be getting the attention and firing and showing the value, even if another isn't. And obviously the Horse Hill players, whether Angus or UKOG, are in getting attention at the moment, because there's three different wells. One, the producing one of Angus, and then there's Broadford Bridge one, and then there's going to be Horse Hill one, where the test work should be carried out later this year. All attracting attention there, and we're participating in the interest in that. Meantime, we've got our coal interests, we've got our nickel cobalt interests in Papua New Guinea that we retain, and we have some other assets. So at any time, one of them is likely to be making the running. Is coal a little bit slow at the moment? Yes. I think that our partner, we recognized very early when we went in, needed some technical assistance and help in order to take things forward from the stage which they had reached. We have introduced people who are offering to, going to do that, and they've done hundreds of thousands of dollars, I imagine, by now, work on that and develop mining plans and so on, and will in fact be meeting with our partner out in the United States in this coming week. How that will all eventualize and how that will play out and how we may benefit from it is yet to be seen. So we have a slightly fluid situation there. But I think we've taken the strategic view that in order really to get value out of this and have strong partners, it requires making the effort to get it set up properly. And the attempt to go things piecemeal with our partner developing things and running them himself was fairly on clear to us that it was only something that was going to work in really, really very good circumstances. And I think the proof of the pudding has been in the delays that have occurred so far. So we are working on that. You know, this is our record. We work at things, and we work at them until we get them right. The opportunity is still there, and it's still a very big opportunity. So we'll announce news when we're in a position to do so.
In regards to the update that you put out, you obviously mentioned possibility of Regency being part of a much larger coal entity. What sort of capacity do you envisage Regency being as part of that?
Well, look, I mean, we've worked with specialists in some fields and some projects, and where we've worked with specialists, the results have usually been better. if we can work with specialists there, then there's a chance of putting something together which could have production and could also have substantial reserves, and which that one could then potentially take to the markets, even in North America. And so doing something big picture like that is very attractive if it can be done. If we're talking to people who think it can be done, then we're going to run with that. An inevitable corollary of that is that our interest is going to be less. And I don't think that we would be providing the management ourselves that would take this, say, onto the US markets. That's not us. But if that can be done, then that could create a big, you know, uplift in value. So we're developing, we're working on that situation to get to where we want to be. We've identified some good assets with a lot of promise, and the question now is how to develop them, because after all, these assets have been there and they've been good assets for a very long time, and nobody has made a huge amount of money out of them yet. And there's a lot of complicated reasons for that, including recently the cycle, but that doesn't mean that it can't be done. And the opportunity certainly is there. And if it can't be done now with a relatively friendly US government and therefore fairly stable conditions that can be forecast and nothing to put off investors, then when you're coming out of a period where coal has been out of favor, both cyclically and from the regulatory point of view, with no distinction being made between metallurgical coal necessary for steel making and steam coal going into power plants. This is, or should be, still a really good time to be getting into that. So what more can I say? We've made some moves there. We're continuing to make moves, and we'll make announcements as we can. That's not, again, the other thing that we expect to come out with information on in the very near future is the impending listing of Curzon Energy, which is a coal-bed methane company.
Yes, where you hopefully will have 10% of the company.
Yes.
Whereabouts are you along the process there then?
Well, I have to be careful what I'm saying because I'm not quite sure what I'm allowed to say. But I think it's true to say that all the approvals have been given and that it's merely a matter of timing now, with August not being a good time perhaps to list something on markets. So waiting for people to come back from holidays may be better. But we have a fairly high expectation now that something is going to be happening and will be announced in the next few weeks.
So hopefully it's going to be quite a busy quarter three for you.
Quarter three and quarter four, there's a fairly highly predictable sequence of news announcements that we can foresee from the Wheel Basin on the one hand and from Curzon Energy on the other. The sequence and timing of announcements on coal is less certain, but there should be some announcements on that too. And then, of course, we've got our other lines of business.
Yeah, if we can talk about Mambare then, your nickel project where you own 50%, could we have a summarisation and an update of what is happening there?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone is very optimistic about cobalt at the moment. That's there about lithium because people are talking about electric cars and the launch of the Tesla S3 in particular has created more expectation of a fast development of electric cars. Our lateritic nickel deposit, as is the norm with lateritic nickel deposits, contains quite a lot of cobalt. However, the prime product there is nickel, so we have to wait for recovery in the nickel price before we can really progress that asset. So our objective has been to retain the asset and to keep it in good standing with the authorities in Papua New Guinea until nickel comes back. And nickel has been a volatile metal historically quite often. And when the big metals boom of the first decade of this century occurred, nickel was actually the first to move up and the first to come down again. And there were some particular factors that came into play as nickel came down, including the development of nickel pig iron technologies in China. And sometimes there are broad changes in demand for metals that are superimposed on the cycle. I mean, if you go back to the 1920s or so, zinc was the great metal of the future and grew. But zinc later on went out of favor and didn't perform well. I think looking forward with nickel, I think that the uses of nickel, two-thirds going into stainless steel, are still, if that looks like something that as the world industrializes and becomes more middle class, stainless steel use increases enormously. And I still think that's the overall picture. But superimposed on that picture has been the particular developments of the last few years, stimulated by the Chinese efforts to react to the excessive rise in price in sort of 2005, 2006, 2007. And we have been holding through that period a massive resource. If we can hold it long enough, then things can turn very quickly. We already had the experience elsewhere of having a manganese resource at a time when the major researchers were all saying manganese was going to be the last of the metals to see a price recovery and supply and demand coming into balance. Within a couple of months of them writing that, the price had doubled and, as we all know, has performed pretty well since then. Now, when nickel price rises, we can't tell. When it does, I think that people will perceive our Mambare asset as being extremely valuable, and the fact that it has cobalt as well will help that.
In relation then to your Motzfeldt project, back in February you announced that there had been a purchase to acquire 100% of it. Now, obviously that has lapsed. Now, you say that you've got discussions still going on with Value Generation, and can you explain sort of why it's lapsed and where you're at and what you hope to see in the future?
All I can say at the moment is we don't just have interest from them, we have interest from other parties. In fact, after having this conversation with you now, this being Sunday afternoon, I'm going to be writing an email to somebody who is on his way to Greenland in the next two or three days, has interests there, and has a strong interest in doing something with us on this. So one way or another, we're going to get an appropriate partner that can work on this with us. It's not going to be our prime asset. It's not going to be what we lead with, and therefore we want somebody else to take the lead. And we spent a couple of years looking for the appropriate person to do this. I think we've maybe arrived at a position where we can do that. Now, something where there's not a lot of value in it maybe up front to us, but as we go forward, if it progresses and succeeds, we'll share the benefits.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say that it's obviously a potentially massive asset, and Regency are just not in a position to actually do anything major with it?
It is a massive asset, and it really needs a lot of money spent on it. You can get away with spending a bit of money on it short term, but then you'd have to be saying this was your main focus. And tantalum and niobium is not our main focus, and not an area where we have particular expertise. If we can work with people who have more expertise than us, then we'd rather they took the lead. And we keep our management resources dry for the right thing. But that, what we do with Greenland and what we do with Horse Hill and with our UCOG shares and even with the coal and with the coal bed methane, is giving us more room for manoeuvre, more flexibility, in order that we can take on bigger and better projects that will create the kind of cash flow that we're looking for. I mean, we have the prospect of cash flow within a year or two from one or two of those oil projects, from Curzon Energy, from the coal bed methane, and potentially from the coal. So we are moving much in the direction of a cash flow model, and we want to do that and use that as the base for a qualitative expansion.
Okay, Andrew. Given all of the sort of delays, if you like, that were obviously outside of your control, and the fact that projects within the next sort of year or two will start to generate cash. Key question, if you were to be a new shareholder, why would you invest in Regency at this point in time?
Well, I think as an opportunistic investor, and as a company that is able to recover fast, we have proved ourselves. I mean, I think when we did the deal with UCOG, people didn't see the rationale for it at first. And now, perhaps because the UCOG price has risen so very much, they do. And there's also been continuing stream of good news there, including this investment by a French investor, a significant French investor in UCOG. And this has come much more into focus. Our ability to do those kind of deals, to understand a project thoroughly and the different aspects of it, and what we're going to be good at and what we're not going to be good at, our realism about projects, our ability to walk away from things that aren't going well, and in the end, we are going to surprise people, and I think we'll surprise them constantly. We went through a period when the market was declining and declining. It was very difficult to do new things or break out of the straitjacket we were in. But now in a recovering market, it is possible. And the answer, I think, is that we've already shown with Red Rock that we have extracted some value and done a couple of very interesting deals. And Regency has been a little bit behind the curve. It's not got the cash flow generation that Red Rock now has, but it's moving in the same direction with its own mix of commodities and things. And I think it will be an interesting investment.
Okay, Andrew, thank you very much for your time on this Sunday. And we'll look forward to speaking as when some future news flow does come in.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.